It is shaping up to be a busy week in politics as Washington and the nation gear up for midterm races. Amna Nawaz has more.
Right, Judy. Republican candidates are garnering key endorsements this week as the primary election season ramps up. Meanwhile, President Biden will tout his climate accomplishments this week in honor of Earth Day, a move that some hope could boost his slumping poll numbers. To help us break all of this down, I'm joined by our Politics Monday duo. That is Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report with Amy Walter and Tamara Keith of NPR. Welcome back. Good to see you both.
Thank you.
Let's dive right in, shall we? Tam, President Biden's been talking about what his administration has been doing on the climate front. We know it's a huge priority for them, but he is up against a tightening energy market, and he's trying to act on that. Just on Friday, they announced they're going to start resuming oil and gas leases on federal lands. He took a lot of criticism on that from environmental groups. Is this the president going back on his pledge?
The White House would argue that they are constrained by court rulings and other things that are basically out of their hands, that this is certainly not the way the president would like to be moving forward on this issue. But this is not the only way that they are running up into challenges. Mm-hmm. They also had a big environmental agenda that was part of the Build Back Better legislation that has completely stalled out. And they've faced other court challenges in their efforts to do this through regulatory means. Now, the White House, trying to get out ahead of all of this, held a call today with reporters where they insisted, no, we really, you know, there are many paths to meet our goals for climate emissions and we'll get there, they say.
They say they're still going to hit them.
They say they're still going to hit them. They are insistent, but it almost seems like the insistence is stronger than the path.
Well, here's the thing on the message, though, Amy. If you're a voter who backed Biden because you wanted someone who's going to act on climate crisis, but you really don't like paying more for gas every day right. because of the war in Ukraine and the tightening energy market, are you okay with this? Do you excuse this?
So there's a famous political saying about you campaign in poetry and you govern in prose. The other way to say it now is you campaign in poetry, you govern in reality. And the reality is gas is super expensive, and it's not just impacting you as you go and fill up your own gas tank, but it's affecting the prices of everything, right? Anything that needs to be transported or any trip you take on an airplane is impacted by this. So it goes to a broader inflation message. And it's not just if you're talking about environmental goals the president would like to hit. It's not just things like leasing that he's gone back on. But he was at an event, was it last week in Iowa, saying this blended ethanol, which has higher pollution, especially in the summer months. That's going to be okay. We're going to get a waiver for that. It should lower gas prices a little bit. Releasing more gas from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Mm-hmm. The reality is, back in 2020, being able to do an energy policy that took us away from fossil fuels made a whole lot more sense.
So here is where we are right now with in terms of his support. When you look at a key demographic, in particular younger voters, for whom climate is a very important issue, if you take a look at that graphic, no group has soured more on President Biden in his time in office than Gen Z and millennials. 60% approval back in January of 21, that's down to 40% as of March of 2022. It's a 20-point drop. Is it just
it's a host of
the economy?
Things.
What's driving that?
So I sit in a lot of focus groups with these voters, and one woman summed it up pretty well at the beginning of the month. She said, you know, what got me out to vote in 2020, everything that was Trump, I was against. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get me motivated when Trump's not there. Also, there are a lot of other problems I'm worried about. Mm-hmm. Almost everybody in that group talked about inflation, talked about their worries on just everything from, is COVID going to come back to what's going on in Ukraine? So there's a sense of anxiousness and worry about what's coming next that is impacting them. I think the other thing that's important to appreciate about this group of voters, especially when we compare them to, say, the voters that were with Barack Obama, a lot of those then younger voters were inspired to vote because of Obama. These were voters who were inspired to vote because of Donald Trump.
Right.
And that is a very different, trying to bring them back into the fold is much difficult.
These
more
are all
difficult
questions, by the way, you mentioned that we also have. Like, is COVID coming back? What's happening with the porn?
Right. It's
we
not different
these
from
concerns.
Right. Everybody's
Tam, what is the White House saying about this?
Well, they in part are saying that there isn't an alternative right now. There isn't an opponent for the president or for Democrats necessarily to compare themselves to at this moment. Mm-hmm. That will change, and they are arguing that, you know, even if we haven't achieved our goals, they say, their policy aims, at least, are more aligned with these voters than what the White House sees as Republicans' policy aims. We shall see about that, whether that's enough to motivate midterm voters, because midterm voters are notoriously fickle and unmotivated, except for the ones that are super motivated, which tend to be the hardcore partisans and tend to be older voters.
And they tend to be older, right. Young voters tend not to turn out.
We shall see is the key phrase from there. But speaking of Republicans, I do want to get both of your takes on a new slate of endorsements we saw from former President Trump, have a lot of people scratching their heads. He's jumping into what I would call some messy Republican primaries, among them backing folks like David Perdue, of course, former Georgia senator, now running for governor, Dr. Oz running for a seat in the Senate from Pennsylvania, Adam Laxalt, who's running for a Senate seat in Nevada, and J.D. Vance, who is also running for a Senate seat in Ohio. Tam, what do you make when you look at this list?
Yeah, I mean, these are candidates who are not clearly winning their primaries by any stretch. These are, in some cases, candidates that the Republican establishment definitely would not get on board with because they don't know that they're necessarily winners. These are also people who are very aligned with Trump and Trumpism and his lie that he won the election. And that has value and currency to him. He also likes people who have a certain celebrity feel, which is how you get Dr. Oz and to a lesser extent, J.D. Vance, even though he once opposed Trump, he now supports him. And that is good enough because it's all about Trump, 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 loyalty, 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 or whatever his definition of loyalty is, which is accepting the lie.
To be clear, he doesn't have to endorse anyone.
He's choosing to do this. He would like to be in the conversation. He's not in the conversation now. He's no longer the president of the United States. One thing that I think is very important to appreciate, though, especially in places like Ohio, but even in Pennsylvania, all of the Republican candidates are touting their support for Donald Trump or how aligned they are with Trump. I took a look of all the ads that have been run since the beginning of the year until now, $24 million of Republican-aligned ads, so either candidates or groups that support Republican candidates, have mentioned Donald Trump in their advertising in a positive way. So candidates saying, I'm the pro-Trump conservative, or we're going to build Trump's wall, or I'm going to, you know, do as Donald Trump would do XYZ. Yeah. No matter who wins these primaries in these states, they are going to be supportive of Donald Trump. We are not talking about an anti-Trump wing versus the pro-Trump wing in these primaries. What we're going to look for is, does his primary give enough juice in a crowded primary to put somebody over the top? That's what the president, the former president, certainly wants to see, right? I endorsed you. You went from bottom of the polls to the top. But it does not tell us a lot about how these folks will be aligned ideologically or temperamentally once they get into Congress.
But if they don't win, it risks his political currency.
There is also that. There is also that. I have a feeling we'll be talking about this some more.
Couple more times.
Amy Walter, Tamara Keith, always good to see you guys.